When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's a fool.
It's the final word, the New Zealand Australia Daily Day for it. Wellington, Jeff Lemon, Adam Collins, the show brought to you by Cbus Super. And, well, the sun is shining. We're in the basin. We're not just on the basin. We're next to the plug hole. We are circling the drain, as New Zealand did today, which you're going to tell us all about in the space of 30 seconds.
Ravindra and Mitchell resumed at 3 for 111. They needed to be batting till probably halfway through today to make chase of 370, 369 realistic. Mm-hmm. Instead, they batted for half an hour, losing 2 wickets in 3 balls to Nathan Lyon when he swung around to the Adelaide Road. Andy took 3 for 2 at one stage, finishes with 6 for 65. New Zealand lose 7 for 85 on the day, all at 196. Australia win by 172. They're the numbers. They retain the trophy in one test, which is annoying because, you know, shouldn't be wrapped up as quickly as it is, but that's the way these things go. Cameron Green, man of the match for his 174 not out.
Well, Pat Cummins after the game said, again, 3 test series, let's do that, please. Yep. Doesn't feel right to be playing across 2 tests, etc. It's been talked about by the CEOs of both the Australian board and the New Zealand board, so, you know, watch this space. I'm upbeat about where that's going. I was less upbeat about the game today. I mean, it's not going to happen. But I was coming here thinking, well, if just there was the Ratchan Ravindra factor. There was that the fact that this kid, and he is still a kid. I don't know. Maybe it sounds condescending. It's not. But he's a young player who's just come into international cricket, and we've talked about it before. He's so breezy, he's so calm, he doesn't look fast. He was like, yeah, cool, I'm just making World Cup hundreds, no big deal. I just made a test double hundred, yeah, whatever, this is chill, you know, I'm just gonna play some Xbox after this. And I was like, well, if anyone's gonna be able to not be caught up in the size of the task and just bat and make 150 and give him a chance, I was like, well, he's the guy. And he kind of was that for half an hour. He looked pretty good. And then, you know, they were working on his cut shot, basically. Nathan Lyon said after the game, I've never bowled with 3 points before. They basically Damien Martin'd him. And were bowling a bit short to him, like they were feeding the cut shot. And in the end, he cuts 1 2-point and he's caught and that's it.
I thought the first half an hour was really interesting. So they almost drop anchor. You know, they resumed on 3-11, added 15 runs in the first half an hour. One of that was a streaky boundary. Ravindra only added 3 runs to his overnight score before he's caught at point by Cameron Green, which is clearly the turning point. Very similar to the World Test Championship final, where Australia bowled extremely tightly on the final day there. India needed a further 280 runs on that occasion. New Zealand needed 258 today. In both instances, they were 3 down and had someone at the crease. In India's case, Kohli. In New Zealand's case, Ravindra, but Mitchell too, who you could identify as a prospective match winner, having looked good the afternoon before. So we always do this when we work in this caper. When we're in the fourth innings and there's an overnight, we get excited about the chasing team, even if the task is a significant one, a considerable one, given their target was so big, 369. So everything needed to go right, but as soon as Ravindra cut that ball and fell into that trap, it felt like the oxygen just completely was let out of the, you know, the air was let out of the balloon, right? You know, everyone around the ground knew at that point that Australia were more than likely to run through them, and so they did. Second ball, Blundell caught it short leg. There were so many batters caught at short leg or leg slip through the course of the test match. You look at that surface right now behind us being watered. When we were here 4 days ago before the test started, it was, you know, 16 millimetres.
Millimeters. Even that seagull is down leg side. Everything's going down leg side.
Millimetres of grass on it. You know, we used to talk about Adelaide when they first started the pink ball test match, leaving 10 millimetres on and it being, you know, a forest. Well, it was even more here, more than there was on the outfield. I think it was 12 millimetres on the outfield, 16 millimetres on the pitch. And the way the pitch actually played in practice was that it did turn a lot.
12 millimetres in the sheets, 16 millimetres in the streets.
And it did turn a lot throughout. And Glenn Phillips, it was a sign of what was to come when he had the ball turning square yesterday. And indeed, Lyon, albeit in a brief spell on day 2 when he picked up 4 wickets, didn't get quite get it right.
But that was tail end slogging more than, you know, they, that didn't seem like, I mean, yes, it was turning for Lion. And so that, it was more like presaging what was to come.
It was a matter of time thing, right? Yeah. It was like at some point, this is going to be a surface that really takes to spin. And Lion made the most of that. And he just overwhelmed sides. Let's just do a bit of Lion stuff here, right? 527 test wickets. He overtook Courtney Walsh this week. Only five bowlers are now ahead of him.
Yep.
He's 36 and talking about playing for four more years. Who knows? Four more years. Could be.
Yep.
You know, he's the kind of guy I can see still playing international cricket.
He's
in his 40s.
Joe Biden of off-spin bowling.
Yeah.
He just keeps going.
Joe Biden, president when he's 86. Nathan Lyon bowling off breaks when he's 86 as well. We'll see.
Well, yeah. He's 40 short of Glenn McGrath. Less than. Glenn McGrath's what, 564, I think, and Lyon would be up to like 527.
Yeah, 527. I'm pretty sure. So it was back-to-back 10 wicket bags against New Zealand. One was a long time ago at the SCG before the pandemic when the world was very different. One here back at a ground where he bowled well 8 years ago. So, yeah, there's the Lyon story here. 10 for 108, I think, become his match figures, which is better than Bill O'Reilly's 10 for here in 1946, which I think was 10 for a little bit more. No, that can't be right because no, he took 9 for here. O'Reilly, when they bowled him out for 46.
Didn't want it enough.
They've
always said that about Tiger.
Yeah. There aren't many spinners that have taken 10 wicket bags at the Basin. So.
No. It's not a spinning joint.
Not traditionally.
Traditionally, but in this game it was. New Zealand stuffed it. They didn't pick a specialist spinner. They didn't bowl the guy who was ragging the ball in the first innings when he might have been able to do something, which increasingly, I know it's hindsight, but even at the time I was like, why hasn't Phillips had a bowl? That seems odd. Like, just at least a couple of overs, see what's going to happen. When you've got a 10th wicket partnership putting on 100, you could probably afford to bowl the part-time spinner that you've selected.
And also you can see what they'll do next week. They'll overcompensate at Christchurch, which has been a venue where spinners go to die, and you can see them picking Suttoner, can't you? Even though Phillips has done a job here and the balance of the side they've agreed to, O'Rourke, who knows, we're getting an update on his fitness tomorrow. He did bat, but you'd assume he's not going to play back-to-back test matches as a young bowler with a clear niggle.
I don't think they're going to lose anything if they pick Santner instead of their mediocre fourth seamer who shouldn't be here in the first place.
So if they go that, my point is that if they want to keep the same configuration, it's not going to be Neil Wagner. We spoke about Wagner last night, maybe coming out of retirement a week after pulling stumps while he was taking photos where we are, you know, right now out in the middle afterwards with his family. So that's not going to happen. So New Zealand, if they want to keep the same configuration and replace O'Rourke and omit Cougar Line, that's tricky. I bet what they do instead is they pick Suttoner and they twist when they should stick. When in hindsight, this is where, not that they would know, but this is where Suttoner should have played ahead of Cougar Line.
Yeah. Well, look, it looked like they'd let themselves in for trouble as soon as Lyon bowled his first couple of balls in the second innings of the match and saw it start to go. And yeah, it felt inevitable today. It was turning so much. He couldn't stop the ball going down the leg side.
Yeah.
It was just turning so far that everything was basically going past the hip of the batters. He was bowling without a slip, which you rarely see because he had the leg slip and a short leg. And
he had a 2-7 for most of the day.
Yeah,
so a backward point in the mid-off and that was it on the offside.
Yeah, and so even when he was bowling around the wicket, the ball was still shredding back to that side. He bowled over the wicket a couple of times and sent one sizzling over the middle stump as well and missed the bails by a centimetre or so. He was dangerous all day. Blundell didn't have anything to offer, a little poke into the pad to short leg, and then Phillips gets caught LBW, and that was, I mean, I wasn't expecting Phillips through the match winner. I thought Phillips the kind of guy who could win you the game from 100 runs away, but not from 250 runs away.
Yep.
But he gets the classic line, round the wicket, straightened down the line, pinned in front. I'll come back to what happened after that in the Hall of Fame. But yeah, Phillips out cheaply and that was it. Then it was a matter of time. It was Henry smoking a few, hitting a couple of sixes, why not? Southie hitting the six and getting out and then it wrapped up pretty quickly.
Quite liked all the Cummins line stuff today. So Cummins got line to bowl from this end, from the RA Vance stand end to start that. I hadn't bowled from this end for the whole test match. The wind changed. It's like a southwesterly today. Yesterday, he was running right up into it. I spoke to him before play, and he's like, actually quite difficult, even as an experienced bowler, finding a rhythm when it's blowing, you know, something of a gale is hard even for him.
Southwesterly is also a hat, isn't it?
I don't know.
Can't you wear like a sou'wester? Isn't that a thing? Isn't that a British thing?
I thought
you would know more than me. You live there.
And I do wear hats occasionally as well.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of hats.
No. I'll research it after this, so we'll hear about it in our, we'll read about it in our YouTube comments. But no, Cummins had line operating from this end. It wasn't turning anywhere near as much. So he goes, no, you know what? I'm going to bowl this end instead. We're going to go back to plan A. And that was the over. It took him three balls to get Ravindra. And then there were three wickets in the space of his first two overs. And then you're getting into the lower middle order. And, you know, Kugelhunt had a whack for a while, which was always inevitable, hitting with the spin. And Daryl Mitchell batted through. Interesting that Mitchell didn't really at any point accelerate, with the exception of one six straight back over the bowler's head. Like, I kind of thought when he lost Ravindra, he might go, okay, well, sorry, more when he lost Phillips, actually. Yes. Look, it's me or nobody. I'm going to have to do something absolutely ridiculous, and I've got to kind of go now.
I reckon the situation is that at that point, Mitchell goes, I'm batting now with Matt Henry, and I'm batting next with Tim Southee, and neither of them can help themselves.
No.
They literally have one approach, and that is try to hit a six every third ball. If you Southee every second ball, you know, that's just there. You cannot stop them batting like that. So I guess in those partnerships, there was no point in him trying to also be the aggressor. He was like, cool, we'll let them do it, see if it comes off. And then by the time, then he's batting with the 11.
Yeah.
So he didn't really have time to start hitting out at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
Green picks up one, Hazelwood.
How about the ball green bowl, by the way? I mean, just to back over that for a sec. So Green didn't get used in the first innings, didn't need him in the first innings. Bowled a ball at about 145 clicks. It jags back off the seam at the throat of Kugelhunt, gloves it in the air. I mean, that was genuinely fast. And that's the luxury Australia enjoy at the moment, that they don't really even need to use Green for his bowling. Now he's the number four. He can be a bit of an impact player. Whereas when he first came into the Australian side, there was a lot of focus on what he would bring with the ball. But it's such a balanced attack, and Lyon's never been better. Oh, by the way, you pay attention to the Lyon average bit that we've done before.
Down to 30.3.
It was 30.3 something. That's the lowest it's been since the Adelaide Test match of
2012,
which is his 15th Test match. Yeah. This is his 128th. So
I think my maths is that he needs six for none to go under 30. So if he takes six wickets without conceding a run, he'll go to 29.
Okay. Yeah. He'll do what Jimmy did when he's, as we said yesterday, had his average come down very, very quickly. So it was the Lions show. It was Mitchell last man out, which was a shame in a way, because, you know, probably deserved to bat through given how long he'd occupied the crease for it. So a huge win here for Australia. We go to Christchurch in 4 days, unclear about how New Zealand will respond, knowing exactly what Australia will do. Zooming out a little bit, Australia have won a little bit ugly here. I mean, there are parts of the game that they won't be best pleased with. Cummins at the press conference said that himself, that they need to be more ruthless at different points in a test match, especially the third innings. And he's right to make that observation, all out 150-odd, when really they should have been setting New Zealand something they never had a chance of.
Yeah, and there was at least a chance overnight, even if it wasn't much of one. So the 29th test together for the Cummins, Hazelwood, Stark, Lyon quartet. So they're extending that record. 22 was the previous record, which was Sobers, Wes Hall, Charlie Griffith, Lance Gibbs.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, they're well ahead. This is only the seventh match together overseas, though. Most of those have been at home.
Yep.
They've only had a handful, the Sandpaper Tour. They played one in England and one somewhere else. Might have been Rawalpindi. They played together, didn't they, that four?
They did play together in Rawalpindi. Good memory.
Yeah. So, look, they'll probably play together again in Christchurch, and we'll be there, and maybe it's time for the Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why not? Let's do it. It's the Final Word Hall of Fame, brought to you by Cbus Super, our great mates.
Should be called Cbus Superb.
Cbus Superb.
Because they're
superb returns, 8.89% on average in the default fund across 40 years. We got that wrong for a number of months. But you know what? That's okay, because we always caveat it by saying their past performance isn't necessarily a reliable indicator of future performance. But the onus has been on all of us at different points of our lives to get our super sorted out, our retirement savings. I mentioned my parents. In fact, my dad formally retired only a couple of weeks ago.
Did he?
He did.
Retired 3 months early to beat the traffic.
Quite right. So he's retired from being, which means he has access to super, and he was in an industry fund early on, and he's reaping the rewards of that in retirement, which we all should if we are members of, I was going to say members of the Australian economy. What about citizens?
Citizens.
Citizens of Australia.
Yep.
So you can get that sorted out with cbussuper.com.au.
Yep.
Hit up Jeff or me if you wish.
Citizens of the land of the Pavlova thieves.
Hit us up for that. Hit us up if you want a Glenn Maxwell t-shirt, by the way. I've got Rach at home mailing out t-shirts in England over the last couple of days. Let me know and we'll do that post haste. 20 quid for the shirt and £2.50 for the postage.
Hall of Fame. What do we got? Hall of Fame. Tim Southee today hit his 87th six, which means he levels Chris Cairns, which is kind of nice from a New Zealand perspective. Chris Cairns hit a lot of sixes. He's only behind Brendan McCullum for New Zealand now, who hit 107.
It's fitting it's here too, because Chris Cairns hit a inside-out cover drive down Adelaide Road there against Australia against Shane Warne many years ago, and they talk of him hitting the William Wakefield Monument, which, by the way, I understand is controversial. I understand there's more to that than perhaps we let on in our preview with Brat the other day. He hit it four times in one innings in a domestic game or something like that. So over at Cow Corner for Chris Cairns, I suppose that makes sense.
Celebrated by buying a second phone.
He's not. I think he's half a dozen sixes away from reaching the top five. He overtakes Sehwag.
He's equal eighth now.
Lara's next.
Lara's only one away.
And then Sehwag's on 91.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm not actually sure that's... Yeah. I think I've arrived at the view that the Southee six-hitting thing is compensating for the fact that he doesn't really want to get in line with the ball.
Yeah.
That's a pretty nasty thing to say about a veteran that's given a lot to the game. But my sense is that he's making room and swinging because he doesn't want to get behind it.
His batting's been pretty dreadful for years now.
Yeah.
And so it's been a very sharp decline. So the six-hitting is largely based on like his first three tests where he hit a whole bunch of them in a very short amount of time, and then it's been much slower since then. But still, he's up
but
there.
Still.
He is a swing bowler who is in the top eight six hitters in the world, and if he gets one more, he equals Lara. And that is just funny. Primarily, that's funny. That's a funny thing to happen.
A lovely moment today where Nathan Lyon was standing at square leg and he enjoyed like this long, jovial conversation with Maria Rasmus. Maria Rasmus, his 81st and final test match this week. What an amazing umpire he's been.
Fewer test matches than Tim Southee's hit sixes.
81 test matches, 124 men's one days, 43 men's T20s, 18 women's T20 internationals. He said he wants to have a quieter life and not travel quite so much. He's still at the peak of his powers. I don't think there's many umpires that you'd rather have out in the middle than Maria Rasmus. And yeah, Nathan was saying that it's not just... because obviously spinners and umpires are talking all the time.
Yep.
He's like, he's actually a friend. Mm. Over the years, you spend so much time on the circuit together, which isn't to, for a moment, question the professionalism of an umpire, more just reflecting the realities of being on the road quite so much. So, yeah, a nod to Maria Rasmus. Enjoy your retirement. You certainly earned it.
And that he's apparently aware of the existence of the Taylor Swift Daisy Cutter meme. Which
he
won't
is.
Mean much to you if you don't know what it is, but you know, you've got the internet, you can figure it out.
I did tell Abby Slade yesterday that that had reached Maria. We spent about half an hour on the radio talking about it yesterday, which was quite good fun. So, yes, the Taylor Swift, my dear friend Maria Rasmus on stage at the MCG in front of 96,000. That didn't happen, but he's aware that the meme suggested that it did, and certain news organisations reported it as fact, which is just chef's
which
kiss.
Which is beautiful.
Goes
with the photo of her bowling left arm wrist spin. Which is another great cricketing moment. I've got one more, which is the Glenn Phillips bit, where he is absolutely nailed. He's plum as can be. He's so plum that he walks for an LBW before the finger's even gone up, and Daryl Mitchell runs down and goes, hey, hang on, you got to review that because we've still got three and we don't have any wickets in hand. And he's like, fine, he reviews it, and then he continues walking off the field. I've never seen a batter walk twice for an LBW.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? It was Erasmus giving the leg before him to Nathan. I suppose that's the last leg before, and that would have been the easiest. Pitching in line
this
with off, hitting
goodbye.
In line with middle and hitting three quarters of the way up middle and leg. It was perfect from Lyon, as you described before, and it was nice they had that bit. And yeah, good that Phillips. I saw Phillips and Lyon having a chat before play today, and you know, just about what their experiences were with the surface and the pace of the pitch. And yeah,
you bowl off spin, mate. Yeah, I bowl off spin.
Well, it was more Phillips initiating the conversation, put it that way. But it was nice anyway. My only other one is a kid who was Did he catch the kid hanging over the rail with the Wisden all week? Did you see him? I don't know, 11 or 12. reminded me a little bit of me. He was very persistent about getting autographs. Had his 2021 Wisden Cricketers Almanac.
Okay.
Had all of the photos tagged. What would you call it? He had them all clipped up, ready to go. Okay. So when the players came by, they could sign photos of themselves in his almanac. And they were listeners to the coverage over here on SENZ, which was quite cool as well. Yeah, no more than 10 or 11. I told him that he could listen to what we do on the final word. So I'm not sure what your name is, young fella, but anyone that's hanging over the rail trying to get cricketers to sign an almanac at your age has got probably a career doing what we're doing, and will overtake what we do sooner rather than later.
That's beautiful. You might look, you might have some quiet teenage years on the romance front. I'm just gonna presage that. That's the second time I've used that word today.
In the Olympics later in the year, the dressage or the pressage.
Never done it before, but here I am doing it twice in a day. It's obviously in my head, but yes, you'll get through those years. It's fine. You'll hit your 20s. Everything fills out at some point, and things stabilize back to the mean over time. Don't worry. Hang in there.
Okay, now life advice from Jeff on the way out of our final episode in Wellington. We will record a weekly episode from here tomorrow. I don't know where we're going to do that. We'll do it somewhere nice. Have you been to the War Memorial yet?
Don't know. I don't think so.
I think we might go over there. It's absolutely beautiful. So either way, we'll do a weekly ep tomorrow. There'll be a story time that also comes out that we forgot to publish last week. Whoops. Between now and the Christchurch test, there'll be the preview for Christchurch with you and me. There'll be the preview for Durham Shala. Cam and me. I'll do it down the line with Cam. There'll be an episode with Cam and an Indian journo. I'm not sure who's got set up 2 days out from that on YouTube only. That won't be on the feed, but it will be the video doing the round. So another busy week for the final word after a busy week here in Wellington. We've absolutely loved being here. 8 years ago, when we finished our video for the organisation we were working for at the time, we ran through the sprinklers. I don't think we're going to do that now. That would be over the top.
They've gone off.
I think they've actually gone off.
We'd have to go all the way out to deep mid-wicket to do that.
But great memories of being here then, as they were this week, and let's hope it's not too long before we return to the Windy City.
Yes. All right, that's it. It's been the final word. Daily, New Zealand Australia Daily, day four from Wellington. Jeff Lemmer, Adam Collins, thanks to Cbus. If you like what we do, patreon.com/thefinalword. And if you're going to be in Christchurch, we'll have a pub meetup there on one of the nights. Not sure which one yet. We'll figure it out. Listen to the podcast. That's how you know. That's how you know. We'll see you soon.
Ta-da. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about it.